This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And our focus this hour is on sensitive international issues and the blunt talk from the presidential campaign. Are they compatible? Can U.S.-China relations make progress in an environment where accusations fly and threatened confrontations are the election soundbite of the day? Can nuclear global policy seriously address threats in the world in the midst of rhetoric calling for nukes to be handed out to countries that don't now have them? Here's Republican frontrunner Donald Trump at a CNN town hall talking about his approach to nukes in Japan and South Korea.
At some point, we have to say, you know what? We're better off if Japan protects itself against this maniac in North Korea. We're better off, frankly, if South Korea is going to start to protect itself.
Saudi Arabia, we have nuclear weapons?
Saudi Arabia, absolutely.
You would be fine with them having nuclear weapons?
No, not nuclear weapons. But they have to protect themselves or they have to pay us. Here's the thing. With Japan, they have to pay us or we have to let them protect themselves.
But if you say to Japan, yes, it's fine, you get nuclear weapons, South Korea, you as well, and Saudi Arabia says we want them too.
Can I be honest with you? It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. It's only a question of time.
It's going to happen anyway. It's only a matter of time. Well, calling for nuclear weapons to be brought to zero on all sides has been the stated goal of the post-war international community. But is Donald Trump calling a bluff here? Japan is planning new factories to obtain plutonium that will add to the world's stockpiles of bomb fuel, and in South Korea there is support for a nuclear weapons program to deter Kim Jong-un in the north.
South Korea possesses enough nuclear material to make 4,000 nuclear weapons, he says. All we need is our president's approval. If we have nuclear weapons, we'll be in a much better position to deal with North Korea.
That's Chung Song Chang, a security analyst at the Sejong Institute in South Korea. Today, President Obama and 50 world leaders meet in Washington, D.C. at the Nuclear Security Summit to find agreement on keeping nuclear missiles and nuclear materials out of the hands of terrorists and to deter states from obtaining the bomb. Deborah Decker, senior advisor at the Stimson Center, goes back to the Cold War days and arms control talks of the 1970s and 80s. She will be presenting at the Nuclear Security Summit later today and says that projecting a nuclear defense by offering our allies use of our nuclear arsenal for a fee, as Donald Trump has suggested, might be a transformative approach. But right now, she's not hearing it in the current rhetoric.
I think Donald Trump has a point in there that people aren't picking up on, that they need to protect themselves and they need to pay for what they are getting. And the United States has been had its nuclear umbrella over a lot of countries, and I think that's appropriate. However, the cost of that is something that could be discussed.
Do you think Donald Trump is viewing this nuclear umbrella question in the same way he views his own conceal and carry permit that he has to own a firearm?
I think probably he does. And I think it's quite different to be carrying a firearm than to be carrying a nuclear weapon in your pocket. Firearm gets taken away, bad things can happen, as we've seen. If someone steals a nuclear weapon or nuclear usable material and uses it in a bad way, which of course they would do, it becomes apocalyptic.
If there is a nuclear arms race between North Korea and South Korea, and mutual assured destruction is the means by which we're assured that neither one of those countries is going to use a nuclear weapon, does that make you sleep well at night?
Not at all, because the key question is, can they protect those weapons? Can they keep track of those weapons? Even in the United States, we've had issues of not keeping track of some of our weapons and having two bombs fly over the United States, nuclear bombs, without the Air Force quite being aware of it a number of years ago. We've had issues of some of our bases having some drug problems. So these are issues that are being addressed in this country where we think we are responsible. Think about that in another country where maybe you wouldn't have that level of accountability, or maybe you'd even be willing, as North Korea might be, to sell some weapons to make money in order to support your country. So there's not that level of accountability and responsibility that we had when we only had two people facing off, or two countries facing off against each other. Now we would have the potential for diversion of that material, and there's nobody to strike back at. So who did it? New York blows up. Who did it? Well, I mean, if you could trace it back to somewhere, that would be great. But in the short term, you may not be able to. It could be some faceless ISIS person somewhere that had obtained a small TAC nuke from North Korea. Do we want that?
Well, I certainly don't want that. Mutual assured destruction seems to have worked in India and Pakistan. These are two countries that have gone to war a number of occasions. They're both nuclear. Yet somehow there seems to be a deterrence balance there that keeps them from going all out at each other. Do you think mutual assured destruction is working in South Asia, or have we just been lucky?
I think we've been very lucky there, and it's an issue that one has to continue to worry about. There have been continued skirmishes. In my opinion, just keep your fingers crossed on that one.
Well, keeping your fingers crossed was not a doctrine that you were familiar with during the arms control talks of the Cold War period that you were, you know, instrumental in. How are
let me interrupt you on that, yeah, because I had nightmares for 10 years after that. If you could see how dangerous that period was, you wouldn't be talking about, or Donald Trump wouldn't be talking about, what he's talking about now. And we still today, unfortunately, have our nuclear weapons on pretty much hair trigger alert. I don't think that's the way we want the future to go. And I really appreciate the fact that we're trying to go to a nuclear zero, where we're trying to theoretically reduce our reliance on nuclear weapons. And I hope in the future, that's the way we go, and that would be a real challenge for the next president.
Deborah Decker is senior advisor at the Stimson Center and the co-author of two recent reports, Nuclear Energy Securing the Future, A Case for Voluntary Consensus Standards and the Quest for Nuclear Security Standards. Deborah, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.